Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. We're just going to have a time in the presence of the Lord around His communion supper. And we're just going to have a good time reaching out and letting Him reach out to us. Praise the Lord. And we're going to talk about the Passover meal or the Last Supper today. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I pray that You'll speak to each one of us today. And I pray, Lord, that You will just help us to realize what a great sacrifice You made for us. Thank You, Lord. We just give You all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading in Matthew 26, and I know I don't have it on the board or on the screen, but if you have a Bible in front of you, you can see it on the seat before you. Matthew 26, verse 20 to 29. When evening had come, He sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and each of them began to say to Him, "Lord, is it I?" And He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of Him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying Him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And He said, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and He blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." Then He took the cup and gave them thanks and gave it to them and saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you to My Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I remember a last meal that I had with our cousin Marjorie. We had something good to eat. We were sharing. We gave a word to encourage her because she'd had cancer. And she gave a short word. And we were sitting and really enjoying the fellowship. And then she left. And the next day, she had gone to be with the Lord. Very surprised, not prepared at all. We knew she was sick, but we thought she'd have a little time left yet. You know, Jesus and His disciples, they were celebrating the Passover. But you know, the disciples didn't know that it would be the last one. They didn't know that before the day was out, He would be arrested and He would be crucified. They didn't know that. They had no idea. They were kind of doing what all Jewish people did. And Jesus had said to them in Luke, He said, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." But they didn't get it. Even weeks before, He talked about dying, but they didn't get it. And they were eating lamb. Oh, my favorite. But they were eating lamb, and it was like a symbol of safety from death. Now, if we read in Exodus and in Exodus 12, we read about what happened there, how the Israelites were being delivered by Moses, by God, from the Egyptians. You know what happened, but I'll just make it short and say that they were told to take a bunch of hyssop and they were supposed to kill a lamb, and they could eat it, roast it, but they had to take this blood and put it on the four posts. Remember that? Because what was going to happen was that the Lord was going to pass through that night, and anyone who didn't have the blood on the door, their firstborn would die. And that would include all cattle and all animals, firstborn. And that was quite a thing, wasn't it? And this is what happened here. He said, "And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever." And even when you come to your promised land. And of course, the children of Israel obeyed. And They did everything that was accordingly to the word of God. And what happened was that night, the death hit everyone. The Lord struck all the firstborn. And it says here that Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Something, eh? But all the Israelites were saved because of the blood, right? So when they were eating this Passover feast, all this was coming before them. This story was coming before them. The blood on the doorposts and the fact that the people were saved because of the blood. It's really something, isn't it? And then the Lord turns around and says, well, the Son of Man will die. He's going to die. In verse 24, that's what he said. He said, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. And of course, it was written that he was going to die. Wow. He's already trying to tell them. He was trying to tell them that he was going to die. They were really, you know, into all this. They didn't get the connection. They didn't connection, did not take the connection of him being the Passover lamb. It didn't even go into their minds. It does say in Isaiah 53, for instance, it says, as it is written, that he'd be cut off from the land of the living and he'd pour out his soul to death. This was all talking about the Lord. He knew that this was going to happen. The Lord knew that this was going to happen. But Jesus said, well, someone's going to betray me. It's going to start. It's going to start now. And he said, woe to the betrayer, because it's better that he wasn't even born. See, Jesus showed love to Judas. He even gave him the money bag to look after the money. I mean, that was something. He knew he was going to be the betrayer, but he tried to show him as much love as possible and just helped him to see the truth. But Judas had made up his mind. He had free will, and he had made his own decision that he was going to betray the Lord. And in Luke, it says that the disciples actually questioned among themselves, who would do such a thing? Who would think of killing our master? I mean, this amongst us. I mean, who would ever think of any one of us? But while they were sitting there and all this was coming to pass, they were talking about, no doubt, the time of Moses and everything. Jesus did two things while they were eating. And this is what he did. First, he took the bread. In verse 26, and as they were eating, so they were still eating, okay, Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Wow. It says in Luke, which is given for you. You see, already the Lord knew he was the Passover lamb. I mean, his body was still standing there, but he knew. He knew this was going to be a remembrance. He knew that they're going to look back on this time. But he said, take, eat, this is my body. He was the Passover lamb. Of course, they didn't understand at that time. But Paul writes in Corinthians, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So you see, it was all revealed to them later, right? But at that point, they didn't understand. Jesus was facing the terrible death at Calvary, his body to endure suffering, his whippings, crown of thorns, thirst, nails, all that. He carried our sins and our sickness and sorrows. He was our healer. What really, really boggles my mind is that he was such a young man. He was only 33. Imagine you facing death at 33. I mean, that's something, isn't it? It's only 33. Another thing that boggles my mind is the fact that after all of this, Last Supper, they sung a hymn. I thought, man, what tenacity Jesus had. He was going to the cross. He sung a hymn. That's quite amazing, isn't it? In that time of desperate need, he even sung a hymn. Well, In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. this is the thought that came to me. Here he was, young man. Probably you'd like to stay around a little longer. But he knew he had to do his father's will. That's something. And he was going to have his body broken for our body, soul, and spirit to be healed. So I was thinking this morning, we're going to stop and we're going to take of the bread this morning. I'm going to ask Paul to come and give it out. And I would like us to think about what our need is. Do we need healing in our body? Maybe our soul has been hurt in some way. Maybe our spirit has been broken in some way. Maybe we have things in our life that have been so hurtful that we haven't been able to get over those things. Well, Jesus has promised healing. You can go ahead and take it out if you like. And I was thinking about that as we take of this bread this morning. I was thinking, maybe today you have someone, you know someone that needs a healing, as was mentioned today, and you know someone who needs a touch in their spirit, who's been broken, who've just felt terrible in their lives because they've been so abused in their lives. Or maybe you know someone that just, their spirit has been totally broken because they've tried to do things and they failed and they've been so broken. And I was thinking that as we take this bread today, you can just hold it in your hand for a moment. I want you to claim healing, whether it's for you or whether it's for someone else or whether it's just something that needs to be done in your own life in a different way, not just a physical healing, but a spiritual healing of some kind. And you know, the Lord is able to do it today. And I was thinking that as we take it this morning, that the Lord would just do a miracle for you. He can do miracles. Praise the Lord, he can do miracles. So let's just partake together. The Lord said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat. Let's just all take, eat it together. And let's just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let's just praise him and thank him for the healing that is about to take place. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who knows what miracle the Lord did today? Praise the Lord. And then Jesus did another thing. Verse 27, he took the cup. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This was the third cup, actually, in the meal. And it was a cup of thanksgiving. And he gave thanks. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what was going to happen. And he gave thanks. And he passed it around. Every one of you drink this, he said. This represents my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, we think about covenant and old covenant and new covenant and Old Testament, New Testament. So we think of this in our mind. But you know, we didn't realize what the old covenant was like. It was a permanent agreement between God and the people. It wasn't just a contract for a short time. It wasn't just something for just, you know, while they're in the desert. This contract was gone. There was no contract. This was a permanent agreement. And this kind of sacrifice, the Lord accepted. And in Exodus 24, it tells us that Moses sent young men to bring burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings to the Lord. And this is the way the Lord started the agreement. He took half the blood from all these thousands of animals and he put it in a basin. And half of the blood he put on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. Can you imagine? All this blood sprinkled on the people. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to his word. Now, this was the old covenant. So when Jesus and his disciples were sitting there and they were having their communion together, they were talking about Passover and everything. They were all thinking, except Jesus, of course, they were all thinking about this old covenant. This was something they had to do year after year after year. They had to keep the Passover. They had to obey the Ten Commandments. And I tell you, this was something else, because if you didn't obey, there was all kinds of penalties to pay and all kinds of sacrifices to be made. I mean, it was really something for all that to have to happen to people. And it was still being carried on to an extent in the New Testament, because even doves were offered when a child was born, and there were all kinds of things that were still being sacrificed. Now, this is what they're thinking. And here Jesus says to them, isn't this something he says to them? Well, he says, this is the blood of the new covenant as you drink this. A new covenant? They could only think of the old covenant that God had done for them, that they had to go through all these, you know, all these sacrifices. They had to go through all this repentance. It wasn't an easy life to have to keep the whole law. I mean, I'll tell you what, they couldn't keep the law. Is that something? They tried and tried, but they had to keep making sacrifices because they kept sinning and they kept going against the Lord. And they couldn't. You know, we can't keep the Ten Commandments either. We can't keep them on our own either. We can't keep the law. Oh, we'd be worse than the Jews probably, the Hebrews at that time. I mean, we'd be worse than they were. Because, I mean, after all, they were trying their best, but they still couldn't make it. They still didn't measure up. And so here's Jesus in the middle of this feast that they're having. He says, drink this wine, he says. This is the blood of my new covenant. What is Jesus talking about? Blood of the new covenant. And then I got to reading about in Hebrews, and it's also a prophecy of the Old Testament in Jeremiah. He said, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. See, they had to have a second covenant because nobody could keep the first one. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord, because they were disobedient. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow. This was the new covenant Jesus already, he was already saying about this new covenant that had been prophesied way back by Jeremiah. And here again, he's saying, this is the blood of my new covenant. This is the blood of my new covenant. He says, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You see, all the sacrifices, all the sacrifices, they could be forgiven, but then they had to keep going back and keep going back, more sacrifices. And you know, that wasn't working. But Jesus, he says, this is coming to pass, the new covenant. And so he presents himself. And at his death, of course, the new agreement or the new covenant took place. When he died, this started a whole new covenant. Isn't that something? And we find out that there was forgiveness of sin by his blood in Hebrews 8. And we just read that there was going to be a new covenant, a new thing that was going to happen. And if we confess our sins and accept Christ, there'd be forgiveness. And this is what I like about this prophecy, that he said he would put the law in their hearts and in their minds. Because you see, when we confess our sins and accept Christ, and we're forgiven, the Holy Spirit takes over and he begins to change our thinking. He begins to help our minds and our hearts, and he begins to change us. As our pastor's been preaching on about the change, the Holy Spirit would begin changing it. He'll make, and then we'll have a relationship with the Lord. We'd have salvation and freedom from bondage and eternal life. A new relationship. Don't have to be cowering in fear, wondering if we made a mistake and we have to sacrifice another animal. No. A new relationship, we become sons of God. When we accept Jesus in our Savior, as our Savior, we become sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? And we have a new mediator. I mean, everybody had to go to Moses or to the priests. But you know what? We can go to Jesus, and he takes everything right to God, the Father, because we're his children. And you know, we find ourselves in God's very presence because of Jesus, because he's forgiven us through Jesus, in Jesus' name. We are forgiven, and we can go to the very presence of God. Wow. We don't realize how fortunate we are. We don't have to be crawling around trying to make it in some way, trying to keep all the commandments, because Jesus said he'd put everything in our hearts and he'd make the changes. Praise the Lord. He's forgiven us. And so I'd like Paul to come and as we think about Jesus bringing forgiveness, because he says to them, this is the blood, my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Wow. As we take of the communion this morning, and as we take of the cup, let's thank God for saving us. You know, we object access to him. We have a new covenant. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? Lord, we thank you because we have fresh access. We can go to you, Lord. You have brought in the new covenant. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to be afraid anymore. We can stand in your presence. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood. We thank you, Lord, that we can partake of this in memory of what you've done for us. Lord, we can hardly comprehend what it must have meant to those people who were under such bondage of religion. Lord, we can't understand what it would be like to be so free as we are today. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as you began, Lord, to free people, Lord, when you rose from the dead, Lord, and you showed yourself to them and explained the scriptures to them, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that today we can thank you because, Lord Jesus, you paid the price for our sin. You are the Passover lamb. Thank you, Lord. You're the one, Lord, that died for us that we might be free. Thank you, Lord, that we might live eternally with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's partake together. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sins are gone. You're never going to remember them anymore, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord. And Lord, there are so many others out there that do not know you, do not know that you paid the price. They try to work their way to heaven. They try to go by their own good works. But Lord, they need you. You're free offer, Lord, of salvation. You paid the price once and for all, Lord. We can't pay it. We can't work for it. Lord, you paid the price that we might be saved. Pray that we may tell others about you, Lord, and that people will know of your power and your strength and how you can forgive sins and change lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This was the last meal that Jesus had with his disciples in his earthly body, though he did have the odd time with them in the next 40 days. But this was really something. This was really something. But during this time, he promised, he said, I'm not going to drink any more here in this earth. But he said, when we get to heaven, he says, we're going to have a feast. And we're going to take up where we left off. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the Passover in a different way because people have been redeemed and set free. And we're going to be there too. We're going to be with him in that wonderful time in heaven as we gather around the throne. And that's why when someone passes on that knows Jesus and we say, oh, praise the Lord, we're going to see them again. We're going to have a feast with him in heaven. But what about those who do not know him? We need to tell others about Jesus. And we can go each day. You know, sometimes we can find a lot of things to complain about. We complain about this and complain about that. Maybe we just need to stop and thank God for his salvation, for his mercy, and the new life that he gave us. The new life. Because why? Because of his great love. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have. Not hopeful, not somewhere in the future, but have it right now. Praise the Lord. We don't deserve it all, but it's because of his great love. And praise the Lord. It's free. It's free. Let's share it with others. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for the time we've had together here right now. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to remember how important this Last Supper was. How important it was, the ushering in of a new proclamation that, Lord, there'd be new, a new covenant, a new agreement, Lord, you'd have with us. A new agreement, Lord, that all we have to do is believe and you've done all the rest. We just have to receive and you've done all the rest. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless each one of us now as we continue to worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ASCC.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ASCC.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.